And we'd like to go ahead and open with our candidate opening statements.
Thank you. My name is Samuel Bergeon. I'm a candidate for City Council. I'm really excited to be here today to be a part of the candidate forum. As a member of the Chamber of Commerce and as a lifelong member of Ketchikan, I'm excited to get back into local politics. I have moved back to Ketchikan full-time and opened up my business again, and I'm going to finish out my career here. I see a lot of opportunities for us to do things better, and I hope to have an opportunity to tell you all about that later in the forum. Thank you.
Spencer Strasburg here. This is my third run for City Council. Skipped a year last year to take care of some health stuff with my lady. And so I'm back in it now, and I'm kind of fired up to give the voter an opportunity to be heard. I was a little disappointed in 2016 when I was skipped over for a guy that never put his hat in the ring, and I had 565 votes behind me. I think that's ignorance of the voter. And so it gives me a little extra fire this year. What I really would like to bring is a business focus. I have no focus on politics. This is the only political seat that I'll look for, and that's to help drive the business leadership in Ketchikan. I think those are the skills that I can bring, and I think that's the area we need to do the most work in, is to make something of this tourist industry so we don't have to keep taxing the local population. And so I have some really good ideas for that. I want to encourage people to check out my Facebook page, because with this time constraint, I can't get a complete thought to you. But I can on Facebook, and I'm going to start doing raw live stuff. So I hope that you'll go to my Facebook page, Spencer Strasburg for City Council. And I'll give it to the next person.
Okay. You are raw, Spencer.
Hello.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Just barely. Okay.
I'm Dragon London, and I'm running for a city council seat. I've been in our community for about 14 and a half years. And during that time, I've had the opportunity to work in a few different positions that have brought me closer to the community. I came here on contract as the executive director of Women in Safe Homes. And after serving my time there, I moved on to Ketchikan Visitors Bureau as their marketing coordinator, which took me all kinds of corners of the United States, marketing our city and being able to become much more immersed in the beauty and the culture of this community and being able to share that with other people. And from that, I moved back into social service and became the community support supervisor, which is really running the Southeast Regional Office for Hope Community Resources, which is an organization that works with individuals who are experiencing intellectual and developmental disabilities. So I feel those types of activities that I've done through my work have given me a great deal of skill and experience that I think would be an asset coming to the City Council. I've also been very active in our civic activities in the community. I'm currently the chair and a commissioner on the Historic Ketchikan Committee, and I've been there about 8 years now, and I'm also a commissioner on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Planning Commission.
Jeremy, so I have, are out of time. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I have stayed involved.
I'm generally Minnick Gage, and this would be my second term if you vote for me. Lifetime resident, fifth generation Ketchikan. And I really enjoyed the last 3 years. Surprising, everybody was like, you crazy. but actually I did. I really enjoyed speaking up and speaking out on some of the issues, and I think that going forward I'd like to be a part of that again. There's a lot of things coming up in the near future, and I stay active and involved in multiple areas, from our nonprofits to our local emergency response teams and the birth expansion and other entities and hospital issues. So I look forward to the debate. I appreciate you guys having us, and can't wait for the questions.
All right. Thank you, everyone. So we are going to start off with our questions here. And our first question is, different cities in Alaska have experienced reliance on certain industries. While tourism is a key part of our economy, how will you work to encourage and foster economic development in Ketchikan so that we don't become reliant on that particular industry?
I think that's a great question. I think for economic development, what we need in Ketchikan is abundant hydropower. We need good schools, good streets. We need good police and fire protection. As a council member, I will continue to work on all of those issues about improving, especially our hydro resources. In discussions with our future Mayor Sievertson last night, it sounds like we're going to be burning some diesel fuel to make up for our lack of rain. We have a lot of untapped hydro resources in our region. I think we need to start thinking regionally, and Mr. Sievertson and myself had this discussion about what Ketchikan is as a regional hub for power, transportation, shipbuilding, and shopping and the like, and tourism. So I think that we need to get together and to look and see what we can do to increase our hydro potential and get all of this stuff online, plug in cruise ships. We have the opportunity for electric cars. What better place in the world than Ketchikan is it for to have electric vehicles? And so we have a lot of demand out there that we can create if we have abundant hydro. And then we also have good schools and things like that. And Ketchikan is a wonderful place to live. I am so glad to be home and to live here full time again. And that's all I got. Thanks.
That's an interesting question. I don't really like the words reliant on something. It kind of sounds negative, but I'm going to try not to waste time. Let me just explain. We are reliant on that industry because it took the place of other industries that are extremely shaky right now. I've never seen less fish, and those are. This is a little more guaranteed, so I think what we need to do is rely a little heavier on the industry. There's ways that we can mine more money out of that cruise ship industry. I think we've just done we're learning what we're doing, and we haven't done a good job of collectively going after that revenue and maximizing those opportunities. And that's where we need to go now. I think everybody could benefit from maximizing opportunities in that industry. I think that if we built an art co-op kind of place where artists could sell their stuff, I've figured out that there's no way that people can sell their stuff to merchants downtown. Merchants can make money. It doesn't work that way in business. That person has to sell directly to the customer, and there's ways to do that with the city standing up to be the economic driver, much like the pulp mill was the economic driver for the timber industry. If the city stepped up and we had bigger facilities, maybe they bought Talbots or something instead of not being interested in going in that direction, we could take that building and we could divide it up into little spaces, and then those people could do it, and then we could have a sales force that was on there so that the artists could go home and make more art. That's what's wrong with it. I've tried to make it work, and I think there's ways we can make it work better in our town, and we can prosper from that opportunity. It's all out there. Fort Lauderdale didn't spend any of their local tax dollars on expanding their ship berth last year. Same size ship from 900 to 1100. They didn't use any local tax dollars. Each cruise ship means $220 million per stop in their town because they learned how to get the money out of there. We haven't maximized those, and if we work on that, we'll have a lot more money for other opportunities.
Okay. Bottom line is I think my platform is economic development, but the broad scope of economic development, which means that it's not just encompassing attracting new business or industry to our community, but also building and nurturing the business and companies we have here already. So in terms of moving to a point where we're not dependent on a single industry, then I think we need to start with the whole idea of diversifying what we've got going on in our community. The first step is to build those industries we already have. There's lots of room for growth, particularly when we're bringing the big ships in here. There's going to be a lot of need for development of other product coming out for the tourism industry in our community, and we need to look at that. We need to look at moving them also not just into our city core, which is imperative we do that to help the businesses downtown, but also moving them outside of our community a little farther so we can have, some freedom downtown. It's going to be too congested when you have 5,000 people coming off a ship. So we need to do some planning here. The upland plan, as they say, which does not exist at this point, needs to happen. I also think we need to look at bringing new industry. Mariculture is just a given for me. And there's all types of growth, ways that we can expand that industry here. We're already thriving. And I think that's something we need to look at and have open minds as to new industry. I know it's been quite a shakeup having the marijuana industry here, but the reality is it is a moneymaker, and we need to look at those kind of opportunities for our community. We also need to retain who we have. So that's a key issue for me, is to looking at how we can become competitive.
I think I was actually at Southeast Conference this last week, and I'm really excited about a lot of the diverse industries that we're seeing in our community right now. The mariculture, I think we need to get behind them on what they're doing, and it's incredible. There's the talk of bioenergy, which they're putting together a group in the community, which I think I want to see what they can do with that. There's things going on outside of the tour industry that I believe could really keep things from getting centered on one industry, which scares me, honestly, to death, because we did this when the pulp mill shut down. We were all dependent in some way or fashion on that industry. The other aspect, too, is we have so many local shops, and I really want to be supportive of our small mom-and-pop shops, because I have been other places that don't. They, it's all corporations. I want to keep those mom-and-pop shops, so I'm really about encouraging people to buy locally, and how do we really capitalize on that. I've heard people say there's nothing downtown. Well, there is actually a lot going on downtown, and it's fabulous. And I look forward to all these the mariculture, the tourism. There's things there that, yes, we can do better. There's going to be more need for other options for those people coming off the ships, but we really need to capitalize on our other industries. That's all I got.
Well timed, everyone. Thank you. Okay, so our second question, we are actually going to start with Spencer this time. I want to give everybody a chance to answer first. So, Spencer, first to you, what is your plan for coordinating and collaborating with local nonprofits as well as Alaska Native corporations and tribes to accomplish projects that maximize community benefit?
I think that was exactly what I was saying before. We're going to have to use what we have here to build this attraction. That's really what our job is. We're like Disney World. We're building an attraction. Those guys bring them in here. They show it to us. We have all the talent that we need. First of all, our town's built on art. I've heard lots of people say, that's what I hear. They're coming in for. That's what I hear in my store. A lot of art stuff, a lot of outdoorsy kind of things. But the art thing, that's what I want to focus on most. I think if the city stepped up to be that economic driver and we build this attraction ourselves with our own people, with the artists doing the little kiosk and stuff in the upland development. See, I have a vision of what it looks like. It's this really crazy developed thing. And I see like we're leading people through so that they go past the retail center. I watch people all day long. The fish are going up the string. They're passing right by all of our stuff. In the morning, the only thing open on the other side of the street is the liquor store is closed. And so they go all the way down to the busiest street. But when they get to my intersection, because we don't have a crossing guard or anything funneling the people past the shops, the only thing that sidewalk services is the bus stop. And at least 60% of the people make that choice because that's a dangerous intersection. They're not from here, and they just keep walking. And it's we haven't channeled. We haven't done the things. If I had a retail rack sitting there and I didn't bring the people by it, nothing sells. And so we can maximize these dollars. There's lots of ways. I got a big one, and I'm hoping the question comes where I can land it, or I'm going to have to spend a question and just answer it with some other answer. But at times just about up. And there's other things we have to do. I was thinking the parking really sucks, and we've been talking about getting meters, but that was really expensive. But then I had this idea. We should just go buy some other city's old secondhand meters because we need them. We need quarter meters so that people are getting off the shit going, hey, Ma, look, quarter meter. But then we create a job because somebody's got to pick up them quarters. We go backwards to actually create jobs for our city. We don't want to eliminate jobs. We need to create them. Get the quarter meters. We can get them for pennies on the dollar, and I think we can install them ourselves with the city guys, and then we're all good.
I feel so inadequate after that.
Sorry.
Okay, don't waste my time. Nonprofit organizations in this community are pretty much my love, and I've certainly spent a lot of time involved with them in an array of different roles and the type of services they provide. I think that the nonprofits of our community are so much the heart of our culture. Sometimes that makes you think about the arts, the public art that we have in our community, the plays, the musicals, all those kind of things we receive from First City Players, the entertainment, and also our beautiful museums and art museums. So those type of things just play such a critical role. But the other services play a critical role, too, in terms of keeping people safe in our community while we're experiencing the visitors who come here. So I think, you know, whether it's the day homeless day shelter or the night shelter that's open in the winter that's saving our people from the weather, that I think that we have to look at those as a critical part. It also is a place where these organizations can also work with the individuals they're serving to be a part of our community and share their skills and become productive citizens in our community. I also think that we need to look at better partnership always with our Native American communities and culture. There's a million ways to go with our heritage, cultural heritage development, and that can only get better. We have many new products, in a sense, coming along that are actually training you to be involved with their cultural experience as long along the way with giving experience also to our visitors. Thank you.
See if I can trip over the chair. All right. Well, I work with a multitude of nonprofits in the community, and in the last 3 years, I think that one of the best things we did was implement the Music on the Dock. That I just love. This summer was one of the best, and it was really fun to watch people having a good time, even though I was driving by. And a few times I got down there, and a lot of the locals are getting down there and enjoying it too. And you know, sometimes it says a lot when you're willing to fight traffic and you're willing to find a parking spot and it sucks for parking. I'll give you that. And still go find those little things that are going on. When it comes to our nonprofits, they are an economic drive. They are another piece to our economic piece that really does give us value. They are the very reason people have less issues or have a reason to do other things. It is proven that it drives substance abuse and other types of abuse down when there's things going on that are positive, and especially with our kids. And so I'm a huge component, and I believe that our community can and our city council and our borough can definitely benefit from all of us. All of the artists and all of the nonprofits who dabble in every aspect and also work together to build up our community and create an environment that tourists and visitors do want to come see and is culturally savvy.
Thank you. I think that's a great question. I think if I look back at my work career and my deliberative body experience, I've worked for Sea Alaska Corporation. I've been on the KSC Tribal Council, supported the nonprofits generally as best we could while on the Borough Assembly and on the City Council. I think and this came up a bit last night with the nonprofit roundtable, was that it's my hope that we get to reach out to the nonprofits and other folks in the communities about doing the work that we need to do to do our uplands development, to do coordinating on every issue that we have together. And so I spent all this time on all these different things to try to get a perspective about how they, you know, interacted. When I first got on the Borough Assembly and the City Council were kind of like the Hatfields and McCoys, and so that's gotten a lot better since my time on the Assembly. And I hope to continue to build on that. And so this question gives us a lot of opportunities about working together, not only with the nonprofits, not only with the corporations, but with everybody. We have to really to start looking at building our economies. We have a lot of challenges in our budget with declining state revenues. We have this boom-bust cycle with shipbuilding. We just finished a couple of ships. Now they're going to be laying some folks off. You know, it would be nice to keep all that momentum going, keep those jobs here and doing different things with that. So we have to all talk amongst ourselves about how we can continue to do that. That's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Next question. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit, and I'd like to hear a little bit more development of the thoughts that you have on this. But and I'm going to encourage you. You still have a closing statement. Don't scrap a question. We still got a closing statement.
Thank you.
All right.
Good strategy.
As a small town, we are coming ever closer to the point of saturation when it comes to tourist numbers by the day. As we talk about receiving even higher numbers of daily passengers in the coming seasons, what is your plan for balancing the promotion of tourism while still addressing citizen concerns about road and foot traffic control, passenger saturation, and other high traffic concerns? And, Dragon, we're going to start with you this time.
No, we're not. Not going to. Okay. Uplands is where that drives me. And my great concern about the fact that we don't have a plan yet truly to address the issues. If you're going to talk about the numbers of people who are coming to our city and also the nurturing of our current community and the safety of our current community, that plan needs to happen. But that's got to be a community plan. People need to step in and talk about what they need, what they vision, so that our community is a part of that plan. It cannot be a bunch of engineers off in the corner planning that or one design company planning that, because it's about our community and we have to speak up. We have to support that we want to, you know, maintain the culture of our community, that we want to maintain our cultural heritage, that we want people to have a good experience when they're here, so that we have in the plan that we can move them off so they can experience our city in the way they want to. That can be an authentic tourism activities. It can be meeting our local artists, which is one of the great things about our community. They can have hands-on interaction with our artists. And we need to be really looking at moving the people around where they need to go. Sometimes that's going to be moving them out of the downtown core area, that we have plans in place to make that happen, and that be more than a line of buses at the cruise ships. We need to look at really how really realistically look at the number of people who are going to be coming here. I do not think we're saturated yet, but I do think we need to have this planning in place for the safety and moving of the people around the community, and also that we maintain and preserve our historic heritage.
You gotta love the cards.
Yes. I'm doing my best.
They threw you off, but that's that. No, I'm not gonna be fearful in this. There's gonna come a time where we have to say enough is enough. My feelings on it is, people are already enjoying Ketchikan. They love it here. They want to be here longer. They're not here longer. They're here 5 hours. Most ships stay only about 5 hours. That's where we need to start. How do we get them longer so they can enjoy more? The aspect of my issue with saturation is you saturate to the point where people don't want to come. I don't know about you, but I don't go to Mexico to some of those harbors because I don't want to go and be immersed by tourists. I go places where I don't find other people jockeying for the same plastic or fake piece of art. I truly believe that we have to be very careful in keeping our integrity, paying attention to the stuff that's not real, that's being sold as authentic. I find that offensive. And I'll say, you know, there's plenty of places starting to put a cap on the number of tourists coming to town. I enjoy the tourists. I do, actually. I have a lot of fun with the ones that I've met and talked to and driven around. And but at the same time, I want to make sure that we're capitalizing on all aspects of our community and our resources, and not just putting it in that, but also not killing our integrity. Because, you know, my grandmother once said, I feel like I'm getting old. Now, when an 80-year-old tells you she thinks she has Alzheimer's because she doesn't recognize her hometown, then I think that's when we start losing our integrity. And I don't want to see that, because people come here to see what they see out there, and they love it. They already love it.
Well, we're going to find out more about the saturation question next year, and we have 1.3 million people here. I think that necessity is the mother of invention. I think we need to start looking at, and this is another conversation I had with Bob last night. I hate to bring up Bob all the time, but you know, we're talking about maybe having the cruise ships stay here longer. And I think that that would really help us to do more with the more people, the greater amount of people that are showing up. Again, you know, getting back to the question before that about how we're going to deal with this, we need to ask our own people how we're going to deal with this. What can we do to improve our trails? What can we do to improve our traffic? We're the ones that experience it day in and day out, and we need to start asking our own people the questions we have about our own island and fix our own problems internally. I have a lot of umbrage with out-of-town consultants coming in and telling us what our history is. I mean, I just went through the museum and saw just what a wonderful job that we've done to display our heritage and our recent history. And, you know, I'm really proud of the work that they've done down there. So I think that, and the other thing is that I look out my window and I see the 1.2 million tourists. I live right downtown, right over the water. And I enjoy the tourists. I, too, ask that question about when is enough enough. We're not there yet. We still have to, like Spencer talks about all the time, learn to capitalize more on the folks that we're bringing in here. We're talking about doing a lot of improvements. We need to make sure that we have a revenue stream by the wharfage and dockage fee, which everybody calls the head tax, to cover it. I want Ketchikan to be the best cruise destination in Alaska. I've just always been competitive with Juneau and Ketchikan ever since I was a kid and playing basketball and sports. I want to be the best. And so I think all of us can get together and accomplish that.
My knee-jerk response is they'll never be enough. I mean, we live in a giant place. We're not even restricted by size, really. We need to start thinking about how to separate some of this stuff out, because that frustration's come from us leaving locals to deal with the downtown. It'd be similar if I lived in Florida and I went to Disney World to go get an ice cream. It's a lot of work to go get an ice cream. I could go somewhere where it wasn't as much work. If I want to go visit Disney World, I can. We got to start separating things out. West End will probably be more for the locals. We made this decision. We made this decision like 30 years ago to sit here and say, man, I still want to go downtown and get hung up with that 1.3 million people. That's just foolish. We haven't moved them right. That's what probably the most astounding thing for me is I went to Disney World like 2 years ago or something with my niece and nephew.
And I used to be a seasonal pass holder like 30 years ago when I lived in the state. And what I realized is they learned how to keep moving people, like all the little chain things. And then they had these front of the line passes. Like, I don't know, man, I spent like $600 to walk in the gate. Here's the crazy thing. The lines were so long, it was so crazy. I paid $1,000 for four of us to get to the front of the line. Thought, man, I'm at the front of the line. And then I realized, holy cow, look at all those other people who bought the same pass. I'm not really in the front of the line. I'm just in a preferred line. But God, did they figure out how to make money out of it. And that's what we got to do. We'll figure out how to make the same thing Fort Lauderdale does if we've maximized our opportunities. We just haven't explored it yet. And we're already talking about tapping it? Come on. We can do better than this.
Okay. Thank you. So we got a lot more questions this time than we did last time, and I don't know that I've left room for all of them. One of the questions, actually a couple of the questions, had to deal with what my next question was. And I'm going to go ahead, just because it is an audience question as well, I'm going to go ahead and ask that question as I had it formulated, just so that we're not trying to tie everybody in together. But have you reviewed the city's financials? Please provide some comments on the current budget, changes you would make in overall financial position. Emily, we're starting with you this time.
Yeah, I've spent the last 3 years going over the budget, and I have to say, you can only cut so much, and I know that we have gone above and beyond. To the point where we have the minimum amount of people just in our water services. We have the minimum amount of people in our sewer department. We have the minimum amount of people working in most of our departments, to the point where it's, you know, sometimes you just can't, you cannot cut yourself out of any kind of deficit. The only thing you're going to do is cause other problems within a department when there's nobody there to keep the lights on, there's nobody there to keep the water going, or no one to go out on an emergency call. There is a couple. I think that we could do better on the surplus, so when a department is not using all of their funds, look at those funds and what they didn't use the previous year, maybe pull that back and maybe say, okay, let's see what you can do. Since you didn't use this much, maybe we can go back to this. And if you do need it for an emergency, because sometimes things happen and that's where those funds are figured in. Right now we're looking at replacing fire engines. And I sit on the fence on this one. I like the idea of refurbishing, but at the same time, I was the prodigy of an accident where the city council at that time said $50,000 wasn't enough or good enough reason to get the pads that lift large objects off of people. A man, can't think of his name, I know him. Yeah, off the top of my head, but he had a similar accident 2 years or 2 months before mine. House fell on his legs, crushed his legs, and they went to the city council to get these pads. Oh, we're not going to pay for that because it'll never happen again.
Generally, we are out of time.
2 months later, rock falls on me.
Big rock.
So the question was, have I reviewed the budget? And the answer is, this go around, no, I haven't. But I have gone through the city budget about 4 times. I've done the borough budget 3 times. And I've got some general comments that I'd like to make on the budget. One of them is that every year, no matter how dire the budget is, we seem to acquire reserves for certain areas within the budget that are budgeted and underspent. When that happens, the money that we have taken in for fees and user fees and the like is put into an account called a reserve. So a lot of people, when they're talking about the budget, they refer to it as this perfect document that if one thing moves within it, something automatically happens, like we have to cut jobs or do this and do that, and we don't really need to do that. So one of the things that I was hoping to bring forward this go-around was talking about incentivizing not only businesses but people to live in Ketchikan. In 1999, the Alaska legislature enacted a law, maybe it was before that, it was all I could do with my research, that they had a senior citizen property tax for $150,000. That year, the median house cost was $149,800. I would propose to incentivize people that are considering retiring here to raise that amount so that retirees are not paying property tax on their home. And I think that that would go a long way to build the economy of scale in Ketchikan as far as getting people to live here. And, you know, the government has not adjusted that amount, and they have grown reliant on the tax revenues. And we also tax folks on their residential heat or their residential rent and their food. I think we need to start looking at small items within that subset that we can start exempting to take baby steps to wean government off of that taxation.
Kind of waited for an opportunity for a question. But I'm really excited to getting into that budget stuff. One thing I would say about probably my strategy in that, I don't like to cut things. I feel in business, like, to me, that feels like putting on the brakes. And I'm the kind of guy that likes to shove on the gas. And I like to pour a little gasoline on to see where I can get some more revenue. I just don't like the slow approach. And I think that's why I take kind of like this position of saying I'm not a politician, I'm a business guy, because I think there are two different strategies, and maybe that's why it's distasteful to me personally. I like all the politicians and all the people as a people. I just don't really like the strategy. It feels to me like a politician's strategy is to tax and adjust and take money from you and kind of figure out how to make those services work and stuff. And I think the business guy's approach is to, like, make the other guy pay for it. And I like that one. I don't like to take it from us. I like to find ways to get it from someone else. And that's what we can do. When I was at the KRBD thing this last week, and I got to go really, really fast. When I was there, the other two candidates kind of shut me down when I said, hey, I think maybe we should charge sales tax on that boat there that's tied up to our dock. And the other two candidates shut me down and said, we do. And I said, well, I retreated really quick because I thought, geez, they've been sitting on the board, and one's even currently sitting on the board. So, but then I thought, man, I got to check this out. I can't believe I was wrong. And so I started with Katie, and then that ended up at Bob Newell's, and then I ended up at the attorney's office, or with the talking to Glenn Brown, and then he shed a whole bunch of light, and he said, no, we don't charge taxes, but it took a few more hours of work. We thought it might be something federal, but then we found out, no, our borough just exempted those cruise ships, so they don't even pay taxes. Well, all of you guys do. That's the first place I'm starting, because there's a pile of money out there, and we're due. They actually gave us 2 months remittance at the beginning of the summer from the Disney boat, and we gave it back. They want to give us money, and we weren't willing to take it. We really got to work on this game, guys.
Okay, I have looked at the budget and studied it, and it's actually, you know, I've looked at it for years, and I think that overall, I really have to say that I think our budget is doing okay. I think that we always want more money, and we'll always find a way to need more money. And so we need to push forward to make that happen. We do have needs in our community that are being addressed, but very slowly. We have infrastructure issues that we need to deal with. But we have been progressing and bringing in dollars to do that. And sewers are absolutely a huge problem and a priority that we need to address throughout the community. But we have gone out and sought grants and dollars for those, and those are moving forward, and we need to keep doing that. I do believe in diversity of business, as I talked about before, in terms of economic development. I think we need to stop being, as a city, so dependent on taxes and sin taxes. I think we need to look at potentially, I think Sam's kind of brought this up too, at some of those reserves possibly being utilized where we can give some people some tax breaks. Our vulnerable communities, our infants, our children, our seniors, that we might be able to make that happen on some level, on some goods and services. So I want to see us move forward, but I think we're in a good position at this point. My biggest issue is that we're looking at needing to, again, become competitive, and that has to do with our workers in the city starting there, and we need to have the compensation plan completed. It's out for bid now. It needs to happen because we are no longer competitive, and we are not retaining or recruiting the workers we need in this community to run the services we have.
Thank you, everyone. My clock reads 12:59, and this was supposed to be a 1 o'clock thing. If you guys are all okay with this, what I'd like to do, because I still have questions, is I'd like to read them off and give you guys each 2 minutes rather than 1 minute to make your closing statements and address these if you see fit with your closing statements. Does that kind of work for everyone? Our time is gone. This has been really quick. So, one of the questions here is, how do you get youth engaged in community development? Do you favor the city's continued practice of selling pornography over KPU's TV network? Should nonprofits become more self-sufficient and less dependent on government funds? And hearing, I don't like it and won't support it, is horrible. My question to you all is, if elected to a seat on the council, how can you assure the voters that you will not bring your own personal beliefs to the table when voting on issues at hand? So if you see any of those questions that you'd like to address, as well as your closing statements, please go ahead, and I'm going to give you guys all 2 minutes again. And generally, we went with you last, so we're going to come back to Sam for closing statements.
Thanks for everybody for showing up today. I really appreciate the opportunity to stand before you briefly and tell you a little bit about why I'm running for city council. Some of those questions are, am I going to bring my personal beliefs to the city council? My personal belief is that every question that comes before the city council is based on the best interest test. All government questions, it starts and ends with that. Is this in your best interest? And that's what I would hope to go forward with. I have a lot of history in Ketchikan. I was born here and raised here, and I've seen so much change. I just went through the museum, and some of the people that are portrayed in the exhibits, I knew. Pat Charles was, she was delivering newspapers on the dock. And I'm really proud of Ketchikan and where we've come as a community. I mean, we're building ships here. I mean, I went through the ship when they had the big tour day, and then they had the commissioning, and I tell you, I was just breaking buttons on that day, walking through that, and we built that ship right here in Ketchikan. And I think that shipyard is from an idea that came a long time ago. It was a big idea that had no footing, nothing. But our community ran with that idea. And then, lo and behold, we're putting out a couple of ships, we're employing people, and we're building our economy, and we are diversifying our economy from tourism. I think we all need to know what we need to do to maintain that impetus, and that's to continue to fund government to where we can provide abundant hydro, good schools, all those things. I will work with not only the city council, but all the deliberative bodies, the school board, the borough assembly, KIC, Sea Alaska. I have the best experience at this table to work with them because I've actually worked with them firsthand. So I ask for your vote October 2nd, and thank you for coming.
I'm not sure how I got in this position to run for a seat in politics, and I think it came back when the marijuana thing went through, and a lot of people misunderstand me, and they thought maybe I was getting up to defend the marijuana people because I wanted a piece of that industry. And it couldn't be further from the truth. I absolutely love watching those marijuana entrepreneurs during their challenges, and that's why I stood up for them. I saw six people kind of wanting to go against what the voter voted for, and that's what kind of really bothered me. And then that's kind of started it from then. And I think every time I find myself standing up, it's usually when I see a population being bullied or not heard. Those are the two things that really upset me inside. I think they come from my childhood, and that's another story. But I just can't tolerate it. And so I'm the guy who got the smoking sheds just recently, I think, because the borough didn't want the smoking sheds. And then I thought, that's so short-sighted. Why didn't she at least get them for the non-smoker? And so now all of a sudden we're getting borough smoking sheds.
And also, I was the guy that kept trying to draw light to the fact that the tobacco tax was unfair for 2 years, and the borough unfairly taxed your neighbors and friends and folks that you live with. They unfairly taxed them on products that were never supposed to be taxed. Thank God my voice got that switched just this last couple of months. So my voice has been effective in being a leader, and it would be an honor if I could lead in the business development of that tourist industry, because that's truly what my passion is all about. Business has been in my entire life. I started on the streets of Florida with a bag of clothes, and I was a bum. And I built all of my businesses with no money. And I'm telling you, if you give me a chance, I'll figure out how to get that $1.4 million to pay all, for all of the 8,000 caretakers that are building this attraction for them to come and see every summer. And I'll work really, really hard. Thank you.
Am I the only one who didn't know yet pornography on TV?
No.
I'm shocked. But go for it if you're consenting adults. Okay. Now, I would be I'm not going to talk about certain of my beliefs, but I would be a liar if I said, if I were elected to a seat on the city council, that I wouldn't be taking my beliefs with me. But it's not my role to move from my beliefs to making the decisions. My role as a city council member is to listen to my constituents and to work with the city council members to make the best decisions and choices for our community. So it's not about Dragon. It's about our community and who I'd be representing on that city council. And yes, I do have strong beliefs. I'm a total advocate for seniors and those experiencing intellectual and developmental disabilities. I am very vested in our heritage here, keeping our city alive, preserving our history. Those are very big issues for me, and I'll speak strongly to those issues. But I would be here to represent the community. I love the idea of bringing youth into any kind of enterprise we have in this community. I'm currently substituting up at the high school and have been doing that for quite a while, and it's been such a joy to get to work with the youth and finding out those kind of things, you know, where they can fit in or where they're being left out. We are not mentoring our youth as we should be. We are not bringing them into business and helping them develop properly. We have small organizations, but the greater population of our youth are not being brought into that. So I would definitely want to support that. And did I miss one here? No, I covered them all, pornography and everything. I am Dragon London. I'm running for office. I would be honored to serve you, and I hope you vote for me. Thank you.
I think in the last 3 years, one of the things that I've had to learn, and if somebody had asked me 20 years ago if I was ever going to run for office, I would have laughed. Is that sometimes you have to look at an issue and say, what's best for the community as a whole? And like many of people who know me, and you've known me my whole life, I would be lying if I ever said that I was a strong component of any kind of drug use. I know what that devastation has done to my family. I grew up with it. The premise that I never listen. I do listen. I listen to everyone who talks to me. I listen to everyone who comes to me. I have friends and family who feel and have the need to use substances for different aspects of pain management and things like that. It's hard to say that a person can go in and be a completely void of personal belief systems when they're voting on something. That's why you run. That's why you vote for people, is because they're passionate about their community. I am passionate about this community. I care about every single one of you. And whether you answer, you come to the podium and you talk to me, I'm going to listen with complete and utter respect and have the same compassion that you would have for me. And the reason I'm running again is because we have a lot of things a lot of things on the table, and my passion is the integrity of our community as a whole and keeping it, not turning it into Disneyland. I know I do not want to see our community turn into Disneyland, ever. That would be horrific. People would leave. Sorry, but I hope you vote for me again. I am humbled that you voted for me prior, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve every single one of you and everyone in the community, and I'm thankful.
All right. I wanted to say a special thank you to all of the candidates for being here, for answering the questions, for touching on. I am just really encouraged by all the questions that were submitted from the audience. Thank you. I wish that we'd had a little bit more time, and thank you for making sure that you touched on those when you were going through your closing statements. If we could all get a round of applause for these candidates, and thank you.